Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. We got the Jade Meister on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Thanks for being with us here today. It's Friday. It's April Fool's Day. Gotta stay away from Twitter today, right? Have you been fooled yet, Jades? Have you been fooled? Did you see a couple of posts today and you're like, oh man, breaking news? You got to be careful with that. So they got you? I want to know. Who got you today? I remember Von Miller got me a few years ago and said he was retiring. Who got you today?
They got me with the Tom Brady to the Dolphins.
Oh, Jades. Which, you know, with everything that was kind of surrounding the Bruce Arians thing and Tom Brady, whether or not he, you know, wanted to come back to Tampa Bay or what was it? Yeah. I could see why you went there. Makes sense.
Yeah, and it didn't say that he was, like, going there. It just said that he had, like, formally asked for a trade there. So, yeah, it definitely got me, though.
Yeah, I don't even like real stuff today because you can't tell if it's legitimate. You got to be careful with that.
Yeah, there was a trade in baseball today, and I had to do a little bit of fact-checking.
I would say if it's on social media, be careful. Go to the actual sites, you know, the ESPNs and the CBSs and all that stuff to probably confirm. Because I doubt they're not going to ruin their credibility by screwing around for a day. I'm not a big April Fool's guy. It's more or less just annoying to me.
I like it.
We have enough weird stuff on the internet. Now it's a bunch of lies that we know are lies now.
Yeah, I like it when it's like household jokes. Like, you play a prank, like, within the house, but when it's like professional stuff, it can make it difficult.
Are you a prankster?
No.
I'm not that creative. I'm not creative enough to come
exactly.
up with ways to prank somebody.
Yeah, I think if I had a prank, it would probably just be busting down a door and blowing an air horn. Something simple.
Just something easy. Yeah, I'm not getting too extravagant there with anything as far as that goes. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We got a fun show lined up today. We're going to have former CSU. Yeah, there we go. He's confirmed. Former CSU Rams punter. Yes, sir. Ryan Stonehouse. I got a chance to watch him in the pro day the other day. And again, punting, I know, is not the sexiest thing in the world. But in this state, it sure has been. Ryan Stonehouse is like a must-see. First Advantage Bank text line, 888-530-0043. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Thanks to Allo for becoming our new studio sponsor. Excited about that. All right, we got our... I haven't asked this flat out yet, but I just decided today was the day, Jades. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at wholeshow.com. Are the Rockies a playoff team? I know. Noco now, Tanner Schwint. It's like a Rocky threw up all over that show because he's like pumped and excited. And listen, I think they're going to be a much improved team, but they're not going to the playoffs, are they? Ugh. Oh, my goodness. 83% of the hooligans say no. Who is that 16%? Is that just Tanner getting on 45 different computers somewhere and voting? It probably is, man. So go vote on that. I said, hey, listen, this is not a April Fool's joke of a question. And a lot of people are like, this isn't even a... Listen, is this a good sign, though, that the Rockies and Bill Schmidt, they've done enough in the offseason to where we're having this discussion? Because a month ago, that idea, even the question is ridiculous. Because it was absolutely no. But now you start to look at their roster, and a lot of that roster looks like it's a playoff type team. You know, again, we've talked about it. I think they downgraded their starting rotation by not re-signing John Gray. I think that was a big deal, and that was what carried this team to whatever success they had last year, which wasn't much. And then, of course, the bullpen. Just bad. But outside of that, and I know it's a big outside of that, I really like the lineup. You know, with the out, they might, do they, like on paper, does it feel, they're going to have one of the top outfields, right? I mean, Randall Grichuk, Sam Hilliard, Chris Bryant, Charlie Blackmon at the DH probably, but they got a pretty good outfield suddenly. Outfield's kind of been a struggle for them. And then obviously, you know, looking at Ryan McMahon and Brendan Rodgers and CJ Cron, like solid players. Ryan McMahon could take a big step this year and be a household name in baseball. What is it? The new rules allowing for six, so 40% of the teams will get into the playoffs. Well, you know the Dodgers are winning the division, right? We're not getting past that, and especially picking up Freddie Freeman. The rich just get richer. Milwaukee's probably winning their division. So I'm just looking at kind of Milwaukee's probably winning their division. So there's the first two, the byes. That's how they're doing it. Three division winners, two of them, the best two records get a bye. It's probably going to be the Dodgers and Milwaukee. Milwaukee's got the best rotation, one of the best starting rotations. Disagree?
I think that the Mets are going to have contention for that second spot.
I think it's going to be close. Like, I like the Braves to win their division, and then I like the Mets. Probably going to be the Padres. What, the Cardinals? Phillies or Cardinals?
I think the Cards.
So there's your three. So your three wild cards, I think, might be the Mets, Padres, and Cardinals. You can flip that. It's going to be close. I just don't. Are the Rockies better than any of those six? And then if you add the Phillies, seven teams, because the Phillies, I think, will be right on the outside battling. Are the Rockies right now better than any of those teams?
No, and I think that you still have to worry about the Giants, too.
Right. That's the thing, in their own division. I don't. You can say that they're improved, and I agree with you 100%. But when you flat out look at the teams that, the obvious, and I'm not even breaking, these are just the top six or seven. These are just the teams that I believe are going to be playoff teams. Are they better than any of those teams?
I don't think so, and I think that the issue is they also have to worry about the sleeper in the Miami Marlins, because I think that they could easily surprise everyone and get 85 wins.
Yeah, and you're right, though, the Giants, I mean, with all those veterans, they still found a way. They still are finding ways, so I want to go there, trust me. But how good can this team be? MLB.com did their focus on the Rockies, and I just want to read it to you. So much of the mockery directed at the Rockies this year has been focused on their long-term roster management, and that's perfectly reasonable. If your plan is to trade away Nolan Arenado and his salary and then come back the very next year and agree to a huge contract with Chris Bryant, well, I'm not sure you actually have much of a plan. But putting all that aside, the Rockies should unquestionably be better in 2022. Bryant's here, Randall Grichuk, feels like a terrific fit, and the rotation was strong last year, and even without John Gray, should be again. Now, they only won 74 games last year, so let's not get carried away. But if you want your team to try to get better from year to year, the Rockies did do that. Yes, they did. And again, let's talk about the Nolan Arenado thing for a moment. I think it's easy for us, even local fans, it's like you guys get blinded by the Nolan Arenado, Nolan Arenado son. You quickly just go to, well, they traded away a monster contract to say that, and then just to bring in another monster contract. Nolan didn't want to be there. We know that from text messages and stuff a couple of years, like shortly after he signed the extension, he was already like sending pictures off to Cardinals players, like, check it out. So Nolan really didn't want to be there much longer after he signed that extension. So I do kind of give, and let's also keep in mind, Bill Schmidt was not the GM. When Nolan left, that was still your boy, Jeff Breidich, So I think those are two interesting takes right there. Number one, Bill Schmidt, new team, hopefully new face. And that's kind of what we were hoping. I think a lot of us were critical of the hire of Bill Schmidt because not necessarily because of him, but because you wanted the Rockies to go outside of that. You know, you wanted the Rockies to go externally. 16 minutes after the hour, go vote. Let me know what you think. I think it's a harder question than some of you were letting on. 16 minutes after the hour, we got Ryan Stonehouse coming up. CSU Ram, former CSU Rams punter, jumping on in just a moment. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Hope everyone's having a safe April Fool's out there. Don't get fooled too much. Stay off the Twitter, at least for breaking news. Here's no April Fool's joke, though. I did tweet that we were having Colorado State legendary punter, my guy Ryan Stonehouse, on the program. And that is no joke because we have him right here. Ryan, is it real? Are you there?
Yes, it is real. How are you, Brady?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
It was a lot of fun. So I was at your pro day the other day, and was it weird just like punting in front of everybody? I mean, empty canvas, but a lot of scouts and everybody were on the field. Did you block it all out? What's that like for you? I'm always curious how pro day feels to the players.
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, you know, I've actually kind of made a relationship with a lot of those scouts, you know, at the Shrine Game, through the interview process and stuff like that. So it's really not anything different. I mean, I punted in front of them before. Most of them are area scouts that have been out and have seen me at practice as well as all the other guys before. So I don't feel a lot of pressure. I mean, the Titans, best teams ran are the punting and long snapping pro day, which puts a little bit more pressure. I've never met him in person. That's more where the pressure, I guess, comes for someone that maybe you haven't punted in front of before. But I guess for the majority of the scouts that were there, they've already kind of seen me. So
what? It's kind of windy too. I mean, it was back and forth, kind of an interesting day. The week was weird, I suppose, for pro day. But did that throw you off at all?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think a lot of those guys, you know, it's 29, 30 degrees out there.
Right.
It's a little breezy. Like, it's tough to escape that, especially in Colorado. Some of these, you know, other pro days are indoors. And I don't think it necessarily affected me too much. I mean, I do think that, yeah, where you do go punt and where you work out does have an effect a little bit. But I didn't think it was too challenging. I thought that overall the pro day went great. And yeah, so I think I'm kind of used to it being here for so long now.
We're talking to former Colorado State Rams punter Ryan Stonehouse as he prepares for the next level. He will be punting in the NFL. It's just a matter of where at this stage. You know, I wanted to, you know, kind of just look at it as far as from your personal standpoint. I've always thought this: how much does a pro day like that move the needle one way or the other? Because I guess the way I look at it, Ryan, you're punting at the highest level. You got guys coming at you, you know, the pressure's on in these games to make sure you get off the right punt. And then I look at it in an empty canvas stadium. I'm like, you know, what if you do have an off day there, does it really matter? Because we've already seen what you can do during the real thing.
Yeah, it's all dependent on each best team's coordinator, honestly. So like I said, like, you know, some guys, they do want to see, you know, you keep performing and showing that you're consistent. But at the same time, there's a lot of guys that sit there and evaluate the 4 years of game tape. You know, like you said, like, it is weird. It's different. It's almost like sometimes you may think, oh, are they just going to ignore the 4 or 5 years that you had in college?
Right.
Right. And sometimes it does feel like that. You know, you watch Trey run a 4.54, and you're like, you know, everyone's like, oh, my, okay, great, check the box. But you're like, okay, what if he ran a 4.65? Mm-hmm. Does it not check the box anymore? And that's kind of where, you know, yes, these do matter. Yes, it does to an extent matter if I have a off day or not. But at the end of the day, you know, they have to evaluate everything. And they can't just evaluate one day or one practice or one game. They have to go through and say, okay, what's he done throughout his whole career? Okay, what's he done his senior year? You know, we saw him at the Shrine Game. What'd he do there? And then they have to come together and make a decision and be like, you know, does he have a lot of bad days? Or, okay, majority of his days are good. Maybe he had a bad day here. Maybe he had a bad game. But that doesn't necessarily define him or change their decision. So I don't necessarily think that even having a remotely bad day or somewhere where you're like, oh, I didn't have my best day, I don't think that necessarily totally moves the needle in either direction.
It is interesting, though, right? I mean, I'd love to just pick the brains of some of these scouts because, you know, again, it's their job. They've got to find these guys. They got to make sure that they're, you know, doing their due diligence and studying every single aspect. But certainly an interesting time. Very enlightening, though. I had not been to a pro day before, and I went to a couple this week. So it was cool. And again, I really enjoyed just watching you punt it, you know, from the side of the field, just watching, going at it there. What were you told, Ryan, from some of the scouts so far, you know, about your abilities and how far you can go? And ultimately, like, I know it's rare, but what about the draft? Let's talk about punters in the draft.
Yeah, so to start off, yeah, some of the things I've been hearing, you know, everyone loves my explosiveness. You know, this year's draft class, and what I've been told, is probably the best draft class for punters that's ever come out. They've ever had to evaluate. It's actually probably one of the hardest draft classes to evaluate, because the talent's so good. And it's funny because we all train together. And that's like the thing is they're sitting there watching these videos of all of us together or watching us together. Like, I mean, how any given day some guy could win here, or some guy could do better or worse any given day. And, you know, I think what I've been hearing, honestly, is like, you know, hey, we're going to focus on certain aspects that we like depending on the team. Some teams want to say, okay, we want to see your directional more. Or, hey, we don't care. We want to use that A ball that you got every time. Let's see if you can keep hitting those 5-0s, you know, those 60-yard, 55-yard punts, and we'll cover those. Each team and each coordinator kind of has a different, you know, scheme where they see you fit. Maybe the Rams want to see, hey, we want you to be the best inside the 20 punter. Like, you could put that ball in the 10. Their offense doesn't punt from deep very much, you know, but maybe another offense punts longer punts. So, like, hey, I don't really care much about that direction. We need to get the ball out. We need to change field. So it kind of depends. And that's kind of what I've been hearing is like, you know, we want to see a little bit of everything so that we can kind of make our decision. And I think what team I'll most kind of fit with, the team that wants a lot of power, explosiveness, A-ball ability. Some of these vets have fallen off in terms of their A-ball. Maybe they're better directionally, but their A-balls aren't there. So if I go into a camp with a veteran that doesn't have that same A-ball, I might win that job over him because of that.
I think that's so interesting, too, just hearing you. You know, again, the strategy going into the special team side of it, just the punting side alone. As you said, I think that's eye-opening. Some, you know, some teams historically, they don't punt from deep a lot. Maybe they are known for getting a few first downs and getting closer to that middle of the field. So, you know, they're asking for tighter punts, I suppose. I think that's enlightening stuff, man. I'm telling you, from the get-go talking to you and following you at CSU, this entire state, I don't think, has ever been more interested in the punting game, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. No, and that's a credit, I think, to where the game's gone. I think everyone's elevated their game in punting these last 4 or 5 years, and I think that, you know, it's definitely, you know, put an interesting kind of face to punting where it's not just so like, oh, he just punts the ball. Like you said, like, it makes people intrigued, and want to know more about it, which is kind of cool.
Well, and again, if you're looking at aggressive defenses too, you're thinking, okay, do we go for it on the fourth and six here? You're seeing teams start to do that now. Or do we have a stud punter that can get that ball inside the 10, inside the 5, and then we let our dogs pin their ears back and go? And I think that strategy, I mean, you are seeing it, man. The transition in the league, the NFL, crowds go nuts when a punter can get that ball inside the 5, especially if they know what their defense is capable of.
Absolutely, 100%. And I guess kind of to answer your question about the whole draft, I mean, honestly, like, you know, where I'm looking, honestly, is the sixth or seventh round. And that's going to have to be based on a team that really likes me. It's also going to depend on who gets drafted before me. You know, if a punter goes early or if a punter goes later, if they all go later, that's what's going to really depend on the draft. And I always tell people, you know, sometimes what people don't really understand is, like, in the seventh round, it is a little bit more not ideal to get drafted as a punter. Sometimes, you know, teams have a lot of draft picks and they're like, hey, let's throw a draft pick at a punter where the guaranteed pay is low, you know, and you come in and you go compete with their guy and they really don't care. If you lose a job, it's no skin off their back because they had plenty of draft picks. They were just throwing one out there so they secure you before free agency. And that might not be the most ideal situation. Sometimes there's a lot of punters in the league that don't get drafted, that actually have longer careers than guys that do.
That's it. And sorry to interrupt, Ryan, that's interesting, too, because that's with other players. Like, you hear that typically past, like, that sixth round, it's almost like, do I want to get drafted or do I want to have those options that fit me best?
Yeah, it's really, and truthfully, if you ask all the guys who get drafted in the sixth, seventh round, I would say about 75% of them are going to tell you that they want their pick. Especially for punter, you know, it's about career longevity. It's not really about, you know, getting drafted is great. And I think I said that on Pro Day, you know, it's everyone's dream to get drafted. But the problem is you got to think more of your career-wise. You know, if you get drafted to a cold-weather team and you're maybe not used to that, maybe you're a punter from California that hasn't really been used to that, and you go there and you don't have the best year, you're going to be competing for your job next year. You know, maybe you go to a warmer weather team where you fit better and the scheme fits you better and you have a long career. Situation really does play a big deal in career longevity for punters.
No question about it, man. And again, I love hearing this, too. You know, just some of the stuff that you're hearing from the scouts and what that ultimately looks like. We're talking to Ryan Stonehouse, former punter for the Colorado State Rams. Ryan, in your mind, and again, you're a humble guy, too, so you feel free to no comment this, but do you feel like you're the best punter, the best punter going into the draft and what have you, and free agency and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that I have the most ability, the most explosive leg, honestly. And that's coming from peers too, you know, like, I probably hit the biggest ball in terms of hang time in this draft class. But like I said, you know, this draft class is so good that on any given day, you know, there's about five or six of us out there right now that are NFL ready punters where any one of us could win the day if we're competing. And, you know, that's kind of where I think I'm at. I do feel like I have the best A-ball in this class, though. I don't think anyone can touch my A-ball. But it's going to still come down to the consistency. I think each punter in this draft offers something different. You know, some guys kick off. Some guys have held for 4 years. You know, some guys can play the long ball. Some guys are really, really good at their pooch punts. So I think that's what's making it tougher for scouts and coordinators this year to decide, is because each guy offers a little bit different. It's what they feel is the fit. And that's why I feel like, you know, they got all these guys ranked in terms of, okay, there's a punter here that should go higher or here. Problem is that you never know. A coordinator can be like, okay, well, this guy doesn't fit our scheme, but we have a, you know, a fifth-round draft pick that we want to use on a punter, and they use it on a guy that you're like, whoa, I didn't think that guy was going to go there just because he fit the scheme better.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. And speaking of holding, I saw you doing that a few times, you know, practicing that, you know, just at Canvas the other day. How much of an impact is that? Do they look at that? Because you think on the outside looking in, you go, well, he's just catching a snap, holding it, placing it. That is so much harder than I think people realize, especially in live action.
Well, it's crazy you say that, because what a lot of people don't know is if you can't hold in the NFL, you won't have a job. Doesn't matter how good of a punter you are. you know, the pecking order of kicking goes kicking, punting, snapping. You know, if kickers make the most money, they score points. That's how you win a game. And so if a punter can't hold for the kicker, he's cut. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. People are like, wow, these punters are so good. Why isn't he making it? You know, a lot of people have questions on why certain guys don't make it. You know, it's a lot of times holding. Like, people don't get that. You know, if you can't hold and your kicker doesn't like you as a holder, you're not playing in the league. It doesn't matter how good of a punter you are. And so it is a really big deal. It's funny because, you know, I have a lot. I didn't hold last year, but most of the guys that I'm hearing is like, I don't want to see you punt. I don't want to see you hold.
Hmm.
You know, that's kind of where, like I said, about the whole pressure situation for, like, pro day and stuff. It's really not even on the punting. It's more on the holding for me, you know. So it's not – I've kind of gotten past the – I've proven what I need to prove with punting. I've shown everything I need to show with punting. Now it's more of like, hey, can this kid hold, you know? Can he kick off if we need him to kick off if our kicker goes down? Certain little aspects like that, just kind of like checking, just like Trey run the 5-4-5, you know, checking the box. That's all you're doing right now.
How much of an emphasis has that been then for you, just practicing the holding and practicing kicking off and even field goal kicking?
Yeah, no, it's important. It's more of like being able to do it. Holding may be a more high priority, doing it really good, but kicking kickoff, something like that where you just have to check the box, that's more of like, hey, you have the big leg. If our kicker goes down and we need that to happen, can you physically do it, and can you do it at an okay level, maybe a college level type thing? And to answer your question, yes. Like, I feel like I put enough effort into those where I can do those at that level.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I'm very excited to see what the next step looks like for you, my man. Again, going to games, attending Canvas Stadium as a fan, just hearing the crowd go nuts for you. When you go, you never really hear a crowd typically cheer when you're getting ready to go three and out or something, but you see that red hair storm onto the field, the crowd goes nuts,
go.
Man. They just love it. And
no, it's awesome.
I think you're going to do fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to following you at this next level, my man.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Ryan, we'll talk to you. Hey, what are you building, man? Last time I had you on, you were building awesome things. You had that fireplace going. What's next for you?
Shoot, you know, I'm getting my house ready to sell here soon. But other than that, I mean, honestly, you know, I've been traveling so much. It's funny. I've been in Fort Collins for about 2 weeks now. And that's the longest I think I've been here.
Wow.
In the last 3 months. So definitely it's been a long off season, but yeah, no. So nothing. I'm sorry, I can't give you anything right now. I haven't been doing much but training. So.
Something tells me it's gonna be pretty chaotic for you for a while too. So let me know when you do hunker down and start putting together that next project.
We'll have to do another one. I'll have to let you know.
All right, my man. Ryan, appreciate you, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, man. There's Ryan Stonehouse, punter, former punter for Colorado State. I think he's better than Matt Araiza. I think he is. Matt Araiza is the San Diego State punter. Jaden, I bet you didn't wake up this morning thinking you were going to learn about the ins and outs of punting and what the scouts are looking for. Now, again, it is becoming, and I don't want to say a lost art, but teams do just kind of – some teams just get a punter and they're not thinking about, you know, all of what Ryan just talked to us about. Okay, we're a team. Like for the Broncos, for example. Do you see the Broncos having many three and outs, on that, like first drives or so? If you had to weigh it, you're going to go Russell Wilson, smart quarterback. Typically, that team's going to be able to get you a first down and at least get, you know, start – let's just say you're starting at the 25. Typically, you're going to get a first down. And then that means you're suddenly at the 35, you're approaching midfield. So your strategy is going to become different. If you think that, okay, Drew Lock, for example, he is all or nothing. So there's a darn good chance you're going to end up way downfield or sacked, and you're going to be way backfield, and you're going to have to get a punter that can punt the hell out of the ball. Strategies do change. That's interesting. He might get drafted. Ryan says, hey, I think, you know, this is the one of the best years for punters to go. Maybe he does. Wouldn't that be something? I don't think it's that far-fetched. If you're a team and you have, as Ryan said, a few draft picks, a few extra draft picks in 6th and 7th, then why not? Why not? 39 minutes after the hour. We got Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV coming up next, or coming up in the next hour, I should say. Got the Final Four this weekend, getting ready to rock and roll. Excited about that. Boy, it's going to be a busy, busy weekend. And guess what, Jades? This is the last week of no Rockies regular season baseball. Next Thursday is the home opener, right? They're at home. They're going up against the Dodgers for that first game. Woo! There you go. All right, 40 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Allo Communications Studios here. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Got a shout out to our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one's from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. A double milk stout, 10.5% alcohol content. Yikes. One of those, man, sitting down relaxing tonight. A little chillier today. You know, going to watch the Nuggets T-Wolves game and just have a night. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Something to wind down. Pick up selections from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Check them out today, too. 4 to 7. They got a free wine and spirit tasting from CTS Distributors in Denver. I love On the Rocks for this reason. They support all the local breweries from Greeley to Windsor to Loveland to Fort Collins. But they're also branching out so we can try some new stuff, too. So check out On the Rocks Liquor. And ask about our game beer of the week. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Here's a question for you. Nathan MacKinnon. It was a scare, but everything's going to be good. Should he be fighting? Do you want your... Now, I get that hockey is a completely different beast. But typically, you don't have your best players out fighting for risk of getting hurt. Maybe missing some time. Maybe missing a lot of time. Avs dodged a bullet here, which was a strange story. It went from like Jared Bednar saying he's extremely concerned that MacKinnon's not going to come back to, oh, he missed one game and he's back. Should he be fighting? Now, like, as a man, as a person, you're looking going, okay, he's defending his teammate. I like that. He's defending his teammate. But it's still sports, kind of. It's not like they're at the bar, you know, getting ready to get into a bad fight. No, he's defending his buddy because things could get really bad. Hockey fights are only going to get so bad. They're not letting them pull off UFC sleeper holds and going in for 45 punches. I mean, how long does a typical hockey fight last? 30 seconds? You know? But in 30 seconds, you could fall down awkwardly, which MacKinnon did, and you wondered if he broke his hand or his wrist. I mean, in any other sport, what would you say? If a fight's breaking out, do you want Joker in a scrum at all? You don't want it. First off, injury risk, whatever. But you don't want to risk losing him. You don't want him getting in a fight. So if tempers are flaring and he's in the middle of it, you need a guy to come in and separate your superstar. Football. Do you want Russell Wilson getting up in guys' face? Sure. Sticking up for his guys. But do you want him throwing down, taking helmets off, and start punching? No, bye-bye quarterback. It's the only other sport. So do you want Nathan MacKinnon fighting? I mean, I would imagine the team response would be, yeah, he's got our back. You know, we feel like he's got our back. He's not above or beneath fighting. So I'm torn on this, but I say no. What if he would have been out? What if he would have lost him for the rest of the season? You lost him for the first round of the playoffs. You have Stanley Cup aspirations. You are wanting to win the Stanley Cup. You need MacKinnon to do that. Now, Jared Bednar said all the right things. Yeah. In that moment, in the heat of the moment, he stepped up and did what he thought was right for the team. So, yes, I'm going to say yes, we wanted him in that situation. But you know, at the end of the day, they're like, dude, no, be careful. I'm going to say no. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Hey, if you've been in Northern Colorado for even a short amount of time, chances are you or somebody you know has been touched by the great work that they do at OCR. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is celebrating over 51 years of being specialists in the medicine of motion. They're the region's only team of orthopedic subspecialists. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. That's orthohealth.com. Coming up, we will wrap up hour number one of the show. Where will David Roddy get drafted, if anywhere? And if I tell you late first, early second, does that make you feel better about his chances to return? We'll be right back.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
It's Friday. You got a new beer release that just hit 54 minutes ago down at Weldworks. Every single Friday, they have a new beer release. And now you can enjoy some dialed-in food with your dialed-in beer. New restaurant in town inside of Weldworks. It's called The Annex. Went in there last week. Had the pork belly sandwich, and I had the some of the fries. Ugh. Fries are ridiculous. I still haven't tried. I wanted to try the double cheeseburger because I've heard like it's like legendary. It's famous already. But I figured, you know, I eat double cheeseburgers a lot. Like a lot. Love double cheeseburgers. And especially from like a cafe type place or traditional style, which is what this is. That's what they say. It'll take you right back to those old school cafes you went to. Oh, man. Sign me up for that. So that's next. That's Weldworks. Mouth's watering just thinking about it. Get the new Friday beer release at noon. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. 5 minutes until the top of the hour. Chris Dempsey's going to join us a little bit later on to talk about the Nuggets. Big game tonight for Denver against Minnesota. This was my game of the week, actually. I'll admit, you know, the Nuggets have taken care of what they needed to take care of this week. And Minnesota, as I predicted, would fall off because of the schedules. You know, Denver has, what, have they won three in a row? Scary time against the Pacers, but they did find a way to do it. They've taken care of everything this week. And then Minnesota, meanwhile, I told you, Jades, and you didn't want to believe me. I could just see it. Starting the week, they had, you know, the Boston game, the Toronto game. They lost both of those games. So that knocked them back down to 43 and 34. Denver is tied with the Utah Jazz at 46 and 31. The difference is in the conference they're better. Utah has more wins in the conference than Denver does. So this is still a pretty important game. The Nuggets are now three full games in front of Minnesota with five games remaining. I did put in my game of the week description that the winner of this game would for sure secure, try saying that 20 times fast, a top six spot. So even if Denver loses this game tonight, I still think they got it, but might as well lock this one up. Denver, Minnesota going out at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll be talking to Chris about that more in the second hour. Also, David Roddy, where does Bleacher Report and a few other mock drafts have the CSU superstar going in the draft? We'll talk about that. Coming up next, it's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, live from Allo Communications Studios.